Now is the time, episode number 15. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Welcome again, friends, to the podcast. We have Halloween right around the corner here. And you know, for us, this is an interesting time because we're not used to celebrating Halloween. In fact, Halloween hasn't really come to Ukraine yet, which we're kind of glad about. So we haven't had to deal with that, you know, over the past 6 or 7 years. And so it's kind of something new for our kids to think about. And so I want to talk to you today about Halloween, about how a Christian should respond to that, and more specifically about the spirit world. What is this thing? What are demons, Satan? How do they have any effect on us today? And what should we do about it as a believer? So I want you to stay tuned because I've got a number of scripture verses I want to share with you, and I think you'll find it very interesting. And I have some questions I want to share with you too. You know, I've read a number of things about Halloween, and often they have some historical background and have some very strong position on it. You know, I'm not going to tell you today whether or not you or your family should celebrate Halloween, okay? That is a question that you can decide for yourself. But what I do want to share with you today is what the scripture says about a couple of things that I believe are related to Halloween, okay? And one of the big ones is the spirit world. I don't think that you would disagree with me that when we talk about Halloween, there is a lot of emphasis upon the spirit world. And quite honestly, not a lot of emphasis upon, let's say, angels and God. You don't hear a lot about that when we talk about Halloween. But on the dark side of the spirit world. So Satan, the devil, and demons. And I think it's really important that we have a proper understanding of what the Bible teaches on those things. So I want to start off by sharing a story with you because I haven't shared this story publicly, honestly, and many people don't know that I've actually had some experience with demons. And that happened about, let's see, how many years ago? 18, 19 years ago when I was in Brazil. And when I was down there in Brazil, I was in the Amazon area with some New Tribes missionaries. In fact, a particular missionary named Dwayne Howe. And if you want to learn a little bit more about him, check out a podcast I did recently called Profile of a Successful Missionary. Okay, and I talk about Dwayne and his ministry and how it impacted me and just some really great characteristics of a good missionary. But there was a period of time when I was with him when we got called out to a tribe that lived pretty far out in the jungle. In fact, trying to remember how we got there. We flew in an airplane, I believe, to a village. That's right. We flew to a village that had a little grass landing strip. From that village, we got in a dugout canoe, went upriver, I don't know, it was a few hours, to this village. And we were called to the village because they had a problem with demon possession. And we spent, I believe, 3 or 4 days in this village dealing, in particular, with one girl that was very tormented by demons. And when we first got there, this girl was there and she was just completely normal in her right mind. In fact, even I would say a pleasant girl to talk with, until the demons began to torment her. And I remember that we spent one night, almost all night, with her, and it took four or five guys to hold her down when the demons started to exhibit themselves. The demons spoke through her. The demons knew things about us and even seemed to understand English when this girl didn't understand English. So I'm convinced that there was real demonic activity in this girl. And you might wonder, well, what did we do? You know, what do we do as missionaries, as Christians? How do we approach that? You know, we didn't do anything special or magical, but we did two things. We prayed and we read God's word. Prayed and we read God's word. That was really the basics of what we did. And we surrounded her with prayer and with God's word. Now, what happened was those demons continued to come back to this girl for several days, and they decided to take her out of the village because there was so much demonic activity going on in that village. It just seemed that the demons really had a stronghold in that village. And so they took her out and they took her to a town. They took her to a church in that town where she could be around more Christians and there could be more prayer for her. And eventually the demons left her. And I believe that eventually she got saved. And that's probably why the demons never came back, was because she actually got saved and put her faith in Jesus. So I've had that experience with demons, kind of face to face, head on. And I think that what we need to realize is that the spirit world is real. It is just as real as the physical world that we see, hear, feel, and touch. And it's so difficult sometimes for us to remember that because we don't see it and feel it. But it is real. And there's a number of places in the Bible there's a lot of places in the Bible that remind us of that. One of the ones that I like is in Daniel chapter 10, where Michael, the archangel, came to Daniel and he said, listen, I was held back by the prince of Persia. And he's talking about a demon that he was doing battle with. There is a real spirit world. There is real spiritual warfare going on around us all the time. And if you want to check that reference, is Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. So the spirit world is real. And the other thing that we need to remember is that not only is the spirit world real, but Satan and demons are also real. I find it ironic that we are so ready to believe in God. We are ready to believe that everyone has a guardian angel and these wonderful things make us feel good. But yet when it comes to Satan and demons and hell, we want to get rid of that because it's unpleasant, because it doesn't fit well in our philosophy of life. But friends, if angels are real, if God is real, you know what? Satan and his evil spirits are also very real. A great place to find out how that works is in Job. Job chapter 1. Just read Job chapter 1 because you will find that Satan is very real. In fact, he comes, he talks to God, and not only is he real, but he also, you know, he has power. And Peter tells us even that Satan is like a roaring lion and he's looking around for those that he can devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter tells us, be clear-minded and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. So not only is Satan and demons, they are real, Satan also has power. And another example of that, again, is the book of Job, where Job was able to influence certain events in Job's life, and he caused harm and destruction. So these things are very real, and there is a very real power there. And in fact, I would say that when we talk about the spiritual battle is the greatest battle. And Paul also reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 about the spiritual battle. And he encourages us to be strong and rely on the Lord's strength and put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, he says in verse 12, our struggle is not against human opponents, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in the darkness around us, and evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. So those are some things that we need to be reminded of, that this is, spirit world is real. Satan and demons are real. It is a real battle, and it is the greatest battle. It is greater than any physical battle, because the spiritual battle has eternal consequences. And that ought to sober our minds and give us a serious approach and cause us to think about our attitude and how we talk about Satan, demons, and the spirit world in that sense. Now, one resource I want to share with you when we talk about spiritual warfare is a great little book by Chip Ingram called The Invisible War, What Every Believer Needs to Know About Satan, Demons, and Spiritual Warfare. All right, check it out on the show notes. I have a link there. It's an affiliate link. So if you do buy something on Amazon, I thank you for that, because we get a little percentage and that helps us out. But check out The Invisible War by Chip Ingram. I'll have a link in the show notes. Now, let's turn for a minute and think about what our response is to this spiritual world. First of all, those who believe in God are called to have nothing to do with anything demonic. And that we find early on in Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, 11, and 12. There must never be found among you anyone who sacrifices his son or daughter in fire, practices divination, interprets omens, practices sorcery, casts spells, or who is a medium, an occultist, or a necromancer. Whoever practices these things is detestable to the Lord, and the Lord your God will expel them before you because of these things. You know, that is pretty clear, and it covers a lot of ground there. There's a number of things mentioned, but I think that you can just overall see that we're not supposed to have really anything to do with the demonic world. We're not supposed to be telling fortunes or going to mediums or people who claim to raise someone from the dead. In fact, if you remember, Saul, he even had good intentions. He wanted to hear from the prophet. And so he went to a medium to raise the prophet from the dead so that he could hear what the prophet would say to him. And he was punished for that. 1 Chronicles 10:13 says, so Saul died for his transgressions. That is, he acted unfaithfully to the Lord by transgressing the message from the Lord, which he did not keep, by consulting a medium for advice. So these are things that we ought to stay as far away from as possible. And the Lord had pretty serious consequences in the Old Testament for kings and rulers who dabbled in these kind of sorcery, demonic, evil spirit world type things. And as we go to the New Testament, we also find that there was quite a clear difference of those who turned to Jesus and their relationship with the occult and with demons. Acts 19:19, in fact, shows us that what happened when people got saved. It says, moreover, many people who had practiced occult arts gathered their books and burned them in front of everyone. They estimated the value and found them to be worth 50,000 silver coins. So in the New Testament, where there was obviously some worship, some occultic activity, and fortune telling and things like that, there was a clear difference. When people got saved, they said, wow, we cannot be involved in this kind of thing anymore. And even just, you know, they could have sold those books on eBay or Amazon or something, at least made some money on them. But they said, no, we don't want anyone to be using these kinds of things. And so they burned them. And in that way, it was a great witness. It was a testimony to the world around us saying we are not going to be involved in any of these kinds of practices anymore. And then another thing that I think is quite evident, actually both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but particularly in some of the epistles and also in the book of John, is just simply that Christians are typified by light and life, as opposed to darkness and death. So for instance, Paul writes in Romans 5:8, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And then also Romans 8:6-7 says that we ought to focus our minds on the human nature leads to death, but to focus our minds on the Spirit leads to life and peace. That is why the mind that focuses on human nature is hostile toward God. It refuses to submit to the authority of God's law because it is powerless to do so. So we need to focus on light and life. And our lives ought to be a testimony of God's life and not darkness and not death. That should not be the culture of a Christian. And so as we bring this back to, you know, the question of Halloween, I think that we need to ask ourselves some questions, some serious questions. First of all, I think it makes sense to ask ourselves, is our celebration of Halloween teaching our children that Satan is real? Is it teaching our children that Satan and demons is real? Because what I have found is that often when we make light of the spiritual world of demons and Satan, you know, it teaches them that it's just kind of fun and games. It's kind of just a joke. It's not really real. And we need to be careful that we are teaching our children the proper scriptural understanding of the demonic world. And so, is your celebration of Halloween teaching your children that Satan and demons are real? Or is it just teaching them that they are just something to make fun of and have a good time with? And secondly, is your celebration of Halloween focusing on light and life? Or is it focusing on darkness and death? And I think that, I mean, in what I have seen in American culture, most of Halloween focuses on darkness and death. And maybe you found a way to celebrate Halloween that doesn't focus on those things. And hey, you know what? I'm all for it if you have. But we need to be very careful in how we portray these things to our children, because oftentimes we present them with a double standard. And we say, hey, it's okay for you to dress up like a witch or a ghost or a demon or the Grim Reaper or a vampire or a zombie, and these things that are promoting death and destruction. And then at the same time, we want them to go to church and we want them to put their faith in Christ and we want them to have that spiritual life. And you can see what kind of a
maybe double standard we're presenting sometimes to our children. And so particularly when we talk about our children, I think we need to ask these two questions. What are we teaching our children through our celebration of Halloween? Are we teaching them that Satan is real, that he is powerful, that he can influence our life, and that we need to fight a spiritual battle? Or are we teaching them that this is all just fun and games and make-believe? And then secondly, are we teaching them that we ought to be people of light and life? Or are we teaching them to focus on death and destruction and darkness? All right, I want to leave you with one quote from C.S. Lewis today. If you haven't read his book, The Screwtape Letters, man, you've got to read that one. It is a classic and it is amazing. Here's what he says in the introduction to The Screwtape Letters. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters.